So friends, as we turn towards our experience of the word this morning, we're going to be turning to 1 John. 1 John is one of three letters in the New Testament that bear the name John. We think that these letters are related somehow to the Gospel of John, probably not the same writer, but they probably came out of the same community. So this community that had gathered around in the name of John, and had a particular viewpoint, a particular theology, a particular view of Christ. These letters and that gospel came out of that community. And Chris is going to come and read us our scripture from 1 John. Chris?
Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was made manifest among us in this way. God sent God's only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent God's Son to be the atoning offering for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is made complete in us. By this we know that we abide in God and God in us, because God has given us of God's Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father, the parent, has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been made complete among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as God is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been made complete in love. We love because God first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a sibling whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters, their siblings also. We celebrate the written word of Scripture. Thanks be to God. And we celebrate the living word, Christ among us.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Holy God, as we abide in your love, may we also abide in your word. May we become your love and your word for the world you love. Amen. One of my favorite bookstores is City Lights Bookstore over in North Beach. Maybe you know it. I hope you know it. It was founded in 1953 by San Francisco poet Lawrence Ferlinghetti Getty. I didn't know this, but it was the first all-paperback bookstore in the country. City Lights and its publishing arm are better known for being home to the Beat generation of poets in the 1950s and 60s, the Beatniks, and for moving on the leading edge of political causes and progressive thought. It was famously caught up in the obscenity trial of Allen Ginsberg's book of poetry, Howl. It's a funky little bookstore right there on Columbus Avenue, now a regular stop for both book lovers and for tourists. The main floor has the fiction and literature. Poetry is up a narrow staircase in a pleasant, sunlit attic, but the basement is what fascinates me. It's a delicious jumble of bookcases and thought and ideas. There are the usual bookstore sections: cooking, mystery, philosophy, gardening. There's history, a number of history sections, including one called The People's History, history told not from above, but up from the ground. One afternoon, I was crawling around through the basement stacks, and I stumbled on a section called Topographies. Topographies, like the map you have out on a trail. It's one big bookcase with about 7 or 8 shelves. I scanned the book titles. Now, I know what topography is. It's the art of describing the natural features of a place, their relative position to one another, and their structural relationships. But I couldn't quite figure out how all those books fit together. There were books about maps and map making and city planning, but there were also books about forming community in online spaces and about privacy and about AI, artificial intelligence. And there were essays, plenty of essays. The shelves had an odd mix of thought assembled under the category topographies. So I brought some of the books that I have bought off of those shelves. Here's one, it's a big old book, The Lost Art of Finding Our Way. John Edward Huth, who is a professor of science at Harvard, details the ways that humans over the millennia have found their way, have found our way by the stars and the sun and the moon, reading the waves and the tides with maps and compasses. Professor Huth says, each of us is a navigator. We are constantly finding our way through our environment through science and subtlety learned across generations. The topography section is where I found Rebecca Solnit, who you may know is one of my favorite writers. She's a Bay Area writer of essays, and I quote her often. This is her book, A Field Guide to Getting Lost. She writes of finding meaning in life with great sentences like these. This is what she writes at the beginning of one essay. Once I loved a man who was a lot like the desert, and before that, I loved the desert. It wasn't particular things, but the spaces between them, the abundance of absence. That is the desert's invitation. That's good stuff. And then, as I was working on this sermon, I found on my bookshelves this unopened book. I've bought it, but it's one of those books that sat on the shelf for a while, called Infinite City, A San Francisco Atlas. It couples descriptive essays and maps of San Francisco. So we have this map, which is called The Names Before the Names, and it maps indigenous place names in the Bay Area. And then there's this one called Monarchs and Queens. It's a map of San Francisco as a safe place for butterfly sanctuaries and queer public spaces, butterflies and queens. So on my first encounter with this topography section, I was wonderfully perplexed. I took the treasures I'd found upstairs to check out, and I asked the guy who rang me up, what is up with this topography section? What's that all about? And he chuckled. He said, you know, I don't really know, but as best I can figure it out, it's about how we locate ourselves and move around in spaces and places, both real and virtual. Topographies, how we locate ourselves and move around in spaces and places, both real and virtual. 1 John chapter 4 offers us a topography of where love abides. It's not a street map. It doesn't read, go this way and then turn right and then go 1 mile and merge onto the freeway. It is a topography, a landscape and a map to find our way over undulating hills, sometimes confronting steep cliffs. It cascades like a river making its way down valleys on out to the broad expanse of ocean. As we abide in God and God abides in us, a topography of where love abides in and with and all around us. The physical world that John's community lived in was a troubled one. They lived in the world after crucifixion and resurrection, a world still dominated by empire, one of the huddled Christian communities trying to figure out what life in the body of the risen Christ was all about. Scholars think that this letter named after John, 1 John, along with the other two I mentioned, 2 and 3 John, were written out of the same community as the Gospel of John, probably not by the same writer, but reflecting a community of thought. Both the gospel and this letter reflect painful disruptions in that community. The gospel has the sense that their community may have been thrown out of a larger community, out of the synagogue. And the letters, 1 John included, reflect an internal schism among believers as to who Christ is. So these texts flare up from time to time as if they're writing against someone or someone's. But in the midst of that strife and pain, the letter we call 1 John grounds their community life in love. The scripture Chris read this morning is the heart of all that. It is lush and overflowing. The words just cascade over one another. Beloved, love each other, for God is love. God's love abides in us. We abide in God and God in us. We love because God first loved us. In trying to describe the structure and the flow of 1 John 4, writers have described it as everything from intricately woven to no more discernible than the waves at the sea. The writer writes all around the succession of topics and then back again, giving expression to the shape of our existence in Christ. It is a topography, how we locate ourselves and move around in love, in God, and God in us. And the topography that John's community describes begins at the beginning. Love, all love, originates in God's love for us. Love is from God, whoever is born of God. Love, no more our doing than our own birth. It is God's gracious gift, a life lived in love. Love is how we know God. Love is made manifest in Christ. Love is made manifest in us. That's how love shows up in the world. God's love is made complete in us. We become a part of the topography that we inhabit. We are a part of where love abides. And then watch how love abides, how it moves in us. It's almost like a dance. God abides in us. If we love each other, we abide in love. I read somewhere a long time ago, God abiding described as God settling in and being at home in us, and we in God. The Hebrew equivalent of the Greek abiding word meno has its roots in God pitching God's tent with us. Think about the people in the wilderness. We were talking about this in a group that I was in, and I think it was Martin Stevenson who said, it's like God's the tent, and we lift up the flap and go on in to make our home there. God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. And then as all this love is swirling around, 1 John gets down to the grit of it all, puts flesh on the bones. This is love. It's not some fancy, pretty feeling. It's about life lived in community, hard life. There is no fear in love. Love throws out fear along with any sense of vengeance or punishment. That is not love. It's not life. It's not God. And if you think you love, that's only true if you love your sister, your brother, your sibling. It's only love if you love the person right next to you and the one next to them, whether or not they are easy to love, whether or not you are easy to love. You can't say you love a God you haven't seen if you don't love the human being right in front of you. Love. real love, agape love, love lived out in the rough and tumble of community life. Love abides in real bodies, in real people. Love shows up and comes to life and moves around us in spaces and in places in us. I've been thinking about spaces and places, about topography, how we show up in spaces and places a lot lately as we launch this hybrid worship experience, fusing together the community that we have found and love online with the community we have long known in our bones in this physical space. Think a bit about this space, the topography of this place, how folks have located themselves, ourselves, and moved around in abiding love. I think about all the worship, the baptisms, the steady rhythm of the invitation to gather at this table in communion, the singing, the music. This particular space opens up into the courtyard and the grounds, just stunning in springtime. And there's Duncan Hall. And all this opens up into the hills around us and into the broader world. Think of the folks who have peopled this place and lived life here. The body of Christ gathered here, the love, the justice work that has been birthed and embodied here. Noticing the topography of this place means we also have to name that the land this building sits on was inhabited by indigenous peoples long before it was stolen by European colonizers, coastal Miwok peoples. The buildings on this property were built with capital not available to Black communities and Black people. The harms of those broken systems and structures are a part of the topography of this place, how we locate ourselves and here and in the world, how we are called to abide in love and move around in love that honors our siblings and challenges us to tear down the systems that do harm to them and to the world. We could think about the topography of our online space, how in the urgent first days of pandemic, we leapt together into this unknown world of Zoom and technology, and we surprised ourselves. Think of the joy of seeing each other face to face every Sunday morning this past year, together in our homes, transcending the new barriers and limitations that the world threw our way. Think of the words we've shared and the music, the choir videos fusing music and images, the connection we've maintained to the work in the world, the work that is ours to do in the name of Jesus, how love abides here, how we have moved around abiding in love, abiding in God, and God abiding in us. And now we're weaving together these spaces into one community as we stretch our imaginations and build new capacities for living life and serving the world and loving each other in such a time as this, shaping a new topography for our life together in Christ. Back when I was a young lawyer, my friend Helen Catherine and I took a backpacking class just to have something to do that had nothing to do with the law or billable hours. We were particularly ill-suited to the project, but we had great fun together. As part of the class, we had to learn how to read and use topographical maps. Those maps with the lines that indicate the contours of the land, they get closer together when the grade is steep and further apart when the going is flat. They have water features and established paths. In teaching us how to use the topographical map with our compass, our backpacking teacher would often say, "You need to step into the map. Step into the map and go from there." Now, I'm only about 70% sure what he meant by that, but I want to invite us to do something like that this week. When you have a quiet moment, I want to invite you to step into the map. step into your life or some part of your life and take time to look around. Take a look around at the topography of your life, the heights, the depths, the paths, the perils, the forks in the road, the companions on the way. Step into your life, look around, and imagine that this is where love abides. This life is where you abide in love, where we abide in God, where God abides in us. What does that topography look like? Abiding in love and love abiding in you and us, how will you locate yourself and move around in that space and place you call your life? How will we do that together, and what surprises might we find there? For the past several months, the topography of my life has been compact. It is centered in the circle at the end of Tamarindo Drive, where the street circles back on itself, so that I have actually lived at the corner of Tamarindo and Tamarindo. As some of you know, during my father's illness, a neighbor generously lent her house to my sister and me. So when I've lived in Florida, my sister and I and our partners have lived just three doors down from mom and dad. We have traipsed up and down that stretch of street with dinner, borrowed laundry racks, and dogs. The terrain of our life has included hospital rooms and hospice beds. In a hospice bed in the living room. It has been peopled by hospice nurses and neighbors bringing groceries and meals. Our refrigerators have been more full of more potato salad than any family could ever eat. Our topography has been compact and at the same time, wildly connected across the miles to the love and tender care of communities like this. Our topography has been full of deep sorrow and also full of life and love. In the introduction to her Atlas of San Francisco, Rebecca Solnit points out that maps have limitations. They can only convey the information that we choose to put there. They're fixed in time. They can't capture change. If you draw a map of a garden, just as soon as bees swarm or a new plant sprouts, it is out of date. We describe what we see, but the life that we describe is inexhaustible. In 1 John, the topography that the community describes, the topography of where love abides, is not so much a map we draw, but a world that we inhabit and create in God and with God. God has set in motion all this love and all this life, bringing us into this love, making this love manifest in Jesus Christ and in resurrection and by the power of the Spirit, breathing this love and this life into us so that in our lives with God and with the whole world, we might embody and create a world of which we can say, this is where love abides.